All right, our reading will be taken from Matthew chapter number 8, starting at verse number 23. Please follow along, because I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. A windstorm arose on the sea, so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him up, saying, 'Lord, save us. We are perishing.' And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid, you of little faith?' Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was a dead calm. They were amazed, saying, 'What sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand. They need you to talk to them today. They need a word of encouragement today. Amen. Amen. They need a word of encouragement. Look them square in the eye and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
peace,
peace
is available.
Is available.
Neighbor,
neighbor,
peace,
peace
is available.
Is available.
Amen. Amen." We have entitled our message this morning, "Peace is Available." Well, I want you to know that this is the first Sunday in Advent. And for these next 4 weeks, we're going to look at what Jesus came to give to us. Because don't you know, he came to give. He said he came to serve, not to be served. And as he came, we understand that our gift came wrapped in swaddling cloths. But when you unwrap the gift, it's not just one present in there, Sister Davis. There are many. Now, in these next 4 weeks, we ain't going to be able to get to all of it. But we want to look at some highlights of the gifts that the Lord has given us. And it's so funny, because as I was walking out of Bible study on this past Wednesday, one of the saints who came to Bible study said, "I guess we're going to hear a sermon on that on Sunday." I said, "Nah, that ain't got nothing to do with Advent." But then when I spent time with God, the Lord said, "This is what we're doing, and this is how we are doing." Because when we talk about it, the one thing that has basically hid itself from some of us is peace. Because Deacon Aldridge, when we get trouble, if we're not careful in our troubles, we will become overwhelmed. And when we become overwhelmed because of our troubles, we find ourselves disorientated, frustrated, angry, and mad. Anxiety kicks in. You know, we pace the floor. We do all kinds of stuff. We get confused. We get frustrated. And we're mad at everybody. No matter what folks say, we snap at them. Why? Because we have seen that peace has a void. But has it really? Now, this is what we're going to look at when we see this particular story. You see, because one of the things that we have to understand is that there, everything that we need, the Lord has for us.
All right.
Everything that we need has already been given to us. But in order for it to be activated in our lives, it's left up to us.
Yeah.
Because you know how every time you get that brand new credit card, and you know how when they send it to you, it has that little white sticker on it?
Yeah.
It says either go online or it says and call in order to what? Activate it. To which it's telling us is that that card has no usefulness until it is what? And don't you know that everything that God has for us is already in us? It's left up to us to activate it. And the reason why a lot of us don't know where that is because we don't read the word of God. We wait to get it on Sunday morning. We don't want to come to Sunday school. I'm too busy to come out on Wednesday night. I'm too busy for this and I'm too busy for that. Well, the reality is, what if God was too busy to bless you? Where would we be? I want to bless him, but I am just too busy. Well, y'all ready to go take a look at this? And for those that were in Bible study, I want you to know it's going to be a little different. But you're going to get the gist of it. The one thing that the way these verses start off in verse 23, there's something we got to catch. It says in verse 23, he says in that verse that Jesus got on a boat and his disciples did what? So that means that they were following Jesus onto the boat, right? And since they were following Jesus onto the boat, remember, Rose, they figured everything is going to be. They figured there wouldn't be too much stuff going on because they are following Jesus. We are doing the right thing. And if we're just we're doing the right thing by following the right one, then everything should be all right. That sounds good, don't it? Yeah. But what we see happening, my brothers and sisters, is that once they followed Jesus on the boat, once they were on the Lake of Galilee, going from one side to the other, it tells us that once they got away far enough from shore, Sister Sarah, a windstorm came up.
All right, yeah.
Ain't nothing but some wind. You see, but if it was nothing but some wind, that'd be all right. Because everybody loves a nice cool breeze. Ain't that right, Sister Fee? If you didn't, you wouldn't be fanning yourself right now. Everybody likes a nice cool breeze. I know, she's going to get me later. But what we're seeing here is that the wind has the ability of doing something. Because once the boat was far enough away from shore, the wind began to blow. And you know, those boats were sailboats back then. You know, they didn't have no gas motors. You know that, right? They were wind operated. But the wind didn't just blow the sails. The wind pushed the water, causing the waves to hit against the boat. But when they first started out, because again, they got experienced fishermen on there. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, at least four who know how to maneuver a boat through the storm because they are fishermen. Brother Mo, they made their money by taking their boats out in good weather and bad weather. So no matter what the weather, they had to take them boats out to make that money. So I want you to know that they weren't initially concerned because they know that storms come up and then storms end. But there was something about this storm that caused these experienced men, mariners on this boat, to get to the point that, wait a minute, I ain't never been through a storm like this before. Where they're moving the sails and moving the rudder and trying to keep the boat going, but it seems like everything that normally worked in the past ain't none of that working right now. This is one of those catastrophic storms that had never happened before. This boat is rocking all over the place. They are all telling others what to do to try to keep the boat afloat. They're pushing the water out. You know, they're doing everything they can, but all of a sudden, they are focusing on the elements. They're focusing on what's going on. So in all actuality, the moment got bigger than the one they followed on the boat. The moment got bigger to them then Jesus was with them. Have we ever had moments in our life where it gets real big? And we ain't talking about the ones that happened prior to you knowing Jesus. We're talking about the moments, Tangi, where you have been loving the Lord and following the Lord, gave your life to the Lord, and you are doing all the Lord is calling you to do, but it seemed like all hell just breaks loose. Everything that happened this time was similar to what happened before, but it's more magnified. It overwhelms you. You start looking at it. All of a sudden, your anxiety kicks in. Worry kicks in. Anger kicks in. You're frustrated. You can't even sit up in church and enjoy service because your mind is everywhere rather than on the one who blessed you to be in service. You're thinking about this. You're thinking about that. What do I got to go back home to? What's going to be there when I get back? What am I going to do when I go to work tomorrow? I just don't know. How am I going to make it? We get so overwhelmed in the moment that the moment gets bigger than the one whom we serve. Oh, why I gotta clap my hands right now? Want me to say hallelujah? He don't know what I'm dealing with. You know what? I don't. But God does. But the thing is, what do we do when these things happen? You see, and we're confused. Lord, I'm following you. You led me to where I am. You guided me to where I am. And if, Lord, if you guided me here and you brought me here, is it like the disciples? Did you fall asleep on me? You see, could you imagine while all this was going on that boat? Jesus was back on that boat. The board rocked. The louder he snored. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, check this. If Jesus is sleeping, he didn't know. He didn't leave him, y'all. Remember, Rose, remember back in the day when you was hanging out with a few of your boys and they told you if something ever was to jump off, we got each other's back. But when y'all went over to that one juke joint and a few of them dudes in there that you wasn't expecting to see in there, you know, and when they saw you and next thing you know, they want to roll up and fight you. And you say, well, it's all right, I'm cool, you know, because I got my. Well, I thought I had my boys with me. You see, because you know how some folk are, they're your friend until trouble comes. And once trouble come, they ain't nowhere to be found. But I want you to know our Savior ain't nothing like that. Sister Kathy, don't you know when trouble arises, the Lord is right there. He ain't never left us. He ain't never forsaken us. Don't you know when you follow Jesus, don't you know wherever you go, Jesus is there with you. If you're in the valley, he's there. If you're on the mountaintop, he's there. No matter where you are, the Lord is right there with you. So you don't ever have to wonder where he is, because he is what? Right there. But what has happened to these brothers? What has happened to these brothers? When they got so overwhelmed in the moment. You see, when you allow the moments to overwhelm you, then what happens is you lose sight of your purpose. You see, I want you to understand, if you are a child of God, your purpose is to serve him. If you are a child of God, you understand that the Lord has called you to do something specifically, and he's called you specifically to do it. But when you get overwhelmed in the moment, you forget all about your purpose. And if you forget about your purpose, then you begin to lose focus, which means that Jesus, whereas he one time in your life was in focus. Anybody ever go to an ophthalmologist and have your eyes checked? And you know how they put those little things on your eyes? And then they say, is this better or worse? Is it more in focus or is it worse? What happens to us is that when we lose our purpose, I want you to understand, we get out of focus. We forget about the one who brought us to where we are. We forget about the one who woke us up this morning. We forget about the one who blessed us over the years. We forget about the one that put that roof over our head. We forget about the one that puts the food on our tables. We forget about the one that put the money in our pocket. We forget about the one who keeps us in our right mind. We forget about the one who has given us a good portion of health and strength, because we allowed the moment to get too big that we no longer focus on the one who's brought us this far. We start looking at everything that's wrong. When you forget your purpose, you lose your focus, and fear begins to win. And don't you know that's all the enemy wants to do? Fear is a tool from the enemy. Fear is one of the enemy's biggest and best tools. Because all fear is the unknown. You automatically think something wrong without even knowing it's ever wrong. You automatically think things gonna go wrong. Well, I ain't getting on no plane. That plane gonna fall out the sky. It better not. Well, if it is, you're in a better place, because if you go up high enough, ain't you closer to the Lord? Amen. I stole that term from somebody, but I ain't gonna tell y'all where I stole it from, Deacon Miller. But you understand what I'm saying? We have to understand that fear is us automatically thinking certain things are going to be a certain way without knowing what the outcome going to be.
All right.
As the people of God, we can't allow fear to win. Right. And the only way fear wins is when we forget our purpose and we lose our focus. And I want you to know, but you know, let me tell you about the blessing. There's a blessing right here that I see before these brothers. And it's the same blessing that we have with us today. You see, the one thing is this. Even though Jesus was on the boat with them, they couldn't figure out how he could be asleep. But I want you to know that Jesus was in close enough proximity that they went over and they shook him like, Lord Jesus, get up. And you know what he said? They said, Lord, save us. Don't you know that's a gift that the Lord gave to us? He gave us the gift of salvation. Don't you know that sin would have took us out a long time ago? Many of us were about to drown in our sins, but I thank God that we have Jesus, because he is our lifeguard. He sent out the lifeline. He grabbed a hold of us before sin could take us down. Oh, I'm so excited, my brothers and my sisters, that the Lord gave us the gift of salvation. You know why he gave us the gift of salvation? It's because Doreen, he ain't want us to perish. He wants us to have life. And since he wants us to have life, he had to give us salvation. And what he did in giving us that salvation is letting us know that we are important to God. The one of the things that we have to understand as the people of God, I know that you don't dot all your I's and cross all your T's. I understand that you've done some dirty in your life. I understand you think you are so stained that you can't ever get clean again. I know you got some stuff that you done did that you're so embarrassed by it, frustrated by it, mad by it. But what I'm here to tell you, when you were covered in the blood of the Lamb, he washed away every stain of sin on your life. And don't you dare let anybody remind you about what you came and fell short in, because truth be told, there ain't one person in here who has not fallen short in their lives. There's not one person in here who has not made a mistake. We all have come short of the glory of God. That's why we're all here, because we came to get the gift that the Lord had for us, and that's why we serve him, because if the Lord hadn't blessed us, where would we be? So what did they do? They woke Jesus up. But they were still so overwhelmed, because they're just getting moved around, and things are happening, and they couldn't understand how he was asleep. But when they finally woke up Jesus, it tells us in verse number 26, Jesus said to them, why are you afraid? You of little faith. So the thing is, Jesus was teaching them something without them knowing they were being taught. That when you're in the midst of the storm, you got to understand that you serve somebody who is bigger than the moment. You see, because when all hell was still breaking loose, who was the only one at peace on that boat? His name is
Jesus.
And if we put our trust in Jesus and say, Lord, I need your guidance and your strength, don't you know that peace that Jesus had is the same peace that he'll give to us? You see, my brothers and my sisters, we got to recognize that we serve a God who has our best interests at heart. He is not here to tear us down. He's here to build us up. He's here to heal us. He's here to deliver us. He's here to make a difference in our lives. But the only way that you'll know that is you got to put your trust in him. You see, but one of the issues that occurred, Jesus said to them, why are y'all afraid? He could see the fear all over them. He said to them, why do you have little faith? But I want y'all to know, they weren't hearing nothing he was saying. You know why they weren't hearing nothing they were saying? Because they were still caught up in the moment. They were caught up in the boat, still swinging around. They hear the wind rushing. They hear the waves splashing into their boat. And Jesus is trying to talk to them. Jesus said, I ain't getting nowhere with them. Let me go on and take care of this. He goes over to the end of the boat, and he says to the wind, stop it. All right. He looked down to the wave. That's enough. And you know what happened? Within the New Revised Standard Version, it says there was a dead calm. When something's dead, what does that mean? Ain't nothing moving. So what Jesus did was he stopped everything. Do you hear this? He stopped everything from moving because he needed to get his disciples' attention. Because right now at this point, fear is winning in the lives of his disciples. And what Jesus was doing was letting the disciples know that fear doesn't have to win. The reason why fear doesn't have to win is because you don't have to lose sight of your purpose. You don't have to get out of focus. Because if you keep your purpose going and you keep your focus, you will realize that God will give you peace to get through whatever you're dealing with. And you can be reminded that you have the victory. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Do I got a witness in God's house? Anybody been through some storms? Anybody dealt with some stuff? Anybody thought they wasn't going to make it out? But it was God's grace and mercy that brought us through. Somebody ought to say thank you. You see, I want us to see something. I want us to understand. We got to understand this. Because once there was a dead calm, nothing moving. Now he can get his disciples undivided attention. They said, what kind of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. Now you got to understand that who was Jesus? Jesus was the Word that was made flesh. That back when this earth was an empty void, God the Father spoke, let there be light. When the Father spoke the Word, Jesus was the Word that he spoke. And Jesus went and did just what the Daddy asked him to do. So when the wind heard the Word speak, it recognized that you are my Creator. So whatever you speak, I got to bow down. And when he looked at the waves and they said, I don't care what the wind do, I'm going to just keep on swishing. But when Jesus looked at the wave and said, enough is enough. The waves looked at Jesus and said, wait a minute. I'm here all because of you. So the waves just had to bow down. You see, my brothers and my sisters, we got to understand we serve a God who has all authority. There's nothing here on this earth that our God did not create. So what we got to remember is this. Whatever is trying to knock you down, whatever is trying to get your attention, Deacon Booth, off of Jesus, you don't let it. Because when the problems start to rise up, you see, they had to wake up Jesus. But Jesus was right there. Don't y'all know that Jesus don't ever sleep on us? He's always wide awake. And since he's wide awake and he is in close proximity, you know all you got to do is call on his name. You know, sometimes we ain't got time to say a long, elaborate prayer. Sometimes all we got time to do, Sister Rose, is just say, Jesus, 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 I need your help, Jesus. And when you call on the name of Jesus, I want you to know something's going to happen. And the first thing the Lord's going to do is he's going to just put his peace. right on you. And when he gives you that peace, I want you to know it's a peace that goes beyond anybody's understanding. But wait a minute, I got to bring it home. We got to stop talking about the boat. And we got to talk about the church. You know why? Because I truly believe that this is also a metaphor that Jesus was utilizing for the church. You see, because who's the head of the church? Jesus. Who did we follow to the church? Jesus. Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. Jesus said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And if we follow Jesus into this church, no matter what hell tries to rise up, no matter what hell tries to break us apart, no matter what hell tries to confuse us, no matter what hell tries to cause jealousy and envy to happen in this church, no matter what the enemy tries to do in this church to divide us, we say we will not be divided because we all got the same common denominator, and Jesus is our denominator. And as long as we stand on that denominator, we might be a whole bunch of different numerators, but it's all going to be all right because Mother Austin, we're all standing with Jesus. And I know, come on now, let me take you there. I know that some folk left home this morning. It seemed like you was leaving up out of hell when you left. So much stuff going on, so much confusion going on. And when you got up out of there, you're like, I'm just so glad to get up out there for a few hours. And then when you come to church, you're like, Lord, I'm going to be thinking and praising you. But when you come in church, what happens? Your mind starts to drift. You don't even sit in church 5 good minutes and you're already thinking about the hell you got to go back to when you leave church. But what I'm here to tell you today, you got to be reminded that the Lord is with you. He was with you in that hell. He's with you when you got here. He's with you right now. And if he's with you, he's going to bring you through it. And if he brought you to it, he will bring you through it. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? And when you know how good our God is, Lord, I'm going to put my trust in you. So no matter what I'm going through, I ain't going to think about the hell that's going on. I'm going to raise the hell by going and give God the praise. Because when I praise God in his house, whatever hell that's been trying to hold me down, the Lord will rise it off me and get it off me. Anybody who need to get some hell off of them, go on and start praising God. Go on and start thanking God. He'll give you the peace that you need to get through it. I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and my sisters, when you know just how good our God is, I got to praise him. Because when my praises go up, blessings are. Peace is available for you. So since it's available, the question is, why haven't you activated it? It's in you. Amen. It's for you.
Thank you, Lord.
So why haven't you allowed that peace to step in? Why haven't you allowed that peace to drive you? Can I just be real with you? We all have moments.
Amen.
Y'all heard what I said earlier? We all have moments when we just ain't the way we ought to be. Smile might have left us for a moment. Frustration might have set in. But when we think about what the Lord has done. When we think about the purpose he's called us for.
Amen.
When we focus on where we are and where he's taking us, I'm reminded, no matter what, I got to praise him. Because he's been good to me. And he is still good to me. And he won't stop being good to me. He just keeps on blessing me over and over again. Some folk might get annoyed because you always got to shout. Some folk might get annoyed because you're always yelling hallelujah, but they just don't know what you are going through. They don't know what you've been brought through. And since you are brought through all that a long time ago, you told the Lord, if you bring me through that, I ain't going to be quiet no more. I will praise you every opportunity I get. Do I got anybody who knows what I'm talking about? You realize that I ain't going to let nothing go on and shut me down no more. Because once the Lord lifted me back up, I'm going to praise him because I know I got breath in my body. And Psalm 150 says, let everything that have breath
praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So,
amen. Hallelujah.
Why aren't you?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
The enemy is trying to put a stronghold on. Broad Rock, the Lord is doing something in this place.
Oh, yes.
That is awesome. And it's happening. We done got started. We are moving. We are chugging along. Following Jesus. Moving by faith. And now that we have got some stuff stirred up, the enemy says, oh, no. Let me throw some stuff at them to get them to focus on rather than Jesus, to get them to forget about their purpose. Because if I'm able to do that, no matter how far they have progressed, they will stop and they will begin to regress because they're caught up in the situation. Rather than caught up in Jesus.
All right.
So church, during this Advent season, this is a big time that many folk get overwhelmed. And the reason why I know that to be true, I remember that 14-year-old little boy. Wasn't a little boy, he wasn't little. 14 years old. I remember that first Christmas. My mother passed in September. I remember it, but I don't remember anything about it. I was just so stricken still with grief. It took me years to get over that. You know why? Because I was mad at God. I don't think I truly enjoyed Christmas until after I gave my life to Christ. Can I just be real with you? And now that the Lord has brought me to this place and using me, he ain't happy that God is having his way with me. So he continues. He don't stop just because I'm preaching. Just you don't have to be a saint in the church. He messes with preachers just like he messes with anybody else.
Amen.
But I got to continue to remind myself how I got to where I am. Because it ain't about me. It's about the God I serve who has blessed me and kept me and brought me through. And that's why the Christmas season for some folk have lost the joy of the season. Because loved ones have been called home. And through them loved ones being called home, I now get overwhelmed and grief-stricken thinking about them. And I can't enjoy Christmas no more. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you know what happens? You think that once Christmas passes, then you can get life back to normal. The enemy ain't gonna let you go. He gonna hold on a little. He gonna sink his teeth in a little deeper.
All right.
He don't want you going back to praising and thanking God. He wants you to think about the loved ones who've been called home to glory. Or it might not be a loved one. It might be a situation that occurred during Christmas that causes you not to enjoy it no more. That was the day you thought you and your boo was going to be together forever. But when your boo ain't showed up and called you and said, you know what, I ain't your boo no more. See ya, click. He had to do this on Christmas Day. She had to do this on Christmas Day. And Christmas ain't been the same since. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This stuff is real, y'all.
Yeah.
Ain't no laughter in this. This is real for people. It might not have been you, but it's something you done been through. But it's about us understanding. You know what we got to understand? Peace is available for you.